Howdy, and welcome to another episode of Mark and Aceto Podcast. I am Mark and Aceto, and today we're going to be doing part two of A History of Music of 1965. This is so much information that I gathered up for this particular episode that it's going to take three parts for me to cover it all. So part two is going to be a timeline between January and June 1965. Part one was more of like an introduction type thing, kind of like, because it was I pretty much covered two genres of rock and roll that had kind of broken out in that period: folk rock and garage rock. Now it's more okay. This is what happened in general in the year. You got an idea of what to expect, I guess, when it comes to the styles of rock and roll, folk rock, garage rock, whatever. That makes sense. Okay, so anyway, let's get started, shall we? 1965. So yeah, 1965, again, was a very revolutionary year in music. Which is one of the sources I use. It was a book titled that I use. In fact, I respect, I'm going to probably name the sources again in this episode, that way you know where I'm getting information from. I think it's out of respect that I do announce it, all my sources in every episode, that way. I'm giving them the credit for, what they had me when I researched this particular events. I give them the credit for it. I think it makes sense instead of doing it once. Do it once per episode. That way, I'm cleared, if you will. But yeah, 1965 was the start of the hippie period, what people have stated. But anyway, I just want to clear that out of the way. I wanted to mention that previously, but I think it makes sense now that I'm bringing it up now. So that's why I said it for now, I guess you could say. So my sources, again, I used were Wikipedia, which I apologize for not bringing it up last week, but I did use Wikipedia last week's episode too. Wikipedia, Beatles Bible at www.beatlesbible.com, GaslightRecords.com, the book Hippie by Barry Miles from 2003, the book 1965, The Most Revolutionary Year in Music by Andrew Grant Jackson from 2015, Echoes in the Canyon, a Netflix documentary from 2018, Psychedelia, 101 Iconic Underground Rock Albums by Richard Morton Jack from 2017, and the book Beatles Anthology from 2000, and LAMag.com, which is another source I used. So, and let's get started, shall we? January through June 1965. In January, country singer Roger Miller releases his biggest hit, King of the Road. The song crosses over the pop charts and peaked at number one, and reaching number four on the Billboard's Hot 100. R&B group The Impressions released a civil rights anthem, People Get Ready. The song peaked at number 14 on March 27th. Reggae group Bob Marley and the Wailers rearranged it and released it later in the year as One Love. On January 15th, British band The Who releases the 45 I Can't Explain, backed with Bald-Headed Woman. With I Can't Explain, guitarist and primary songwriter Pete Townshend noted the song's comparability to the coexisting hit All Day and All the Night by fellow British band The Kinks. The Who's lead singer Roger Daughtry made a statement regarding The Kinks' influence in the following quote from Wikipedia. We already knew Pete could write songs, but it never seemed a necessity in those days to have your own stuff, because there was this wealth of untapped music and that we could get hold of them, hold of from America, excuse me. But then bands like the Kinks started to make it, and they were probably the biggest influence on us. They were certainly a huge influence on Pete, and he wrote I Can't Explain, not as a direct copy, but certainly it's very derivative of Kinks music. Baldheaded Woman, the record's B-side, featured a 21-year-old session musician named Jimmy Page. Excuse me. On January 15th, the Rolling Stones released their second British album titled The Rolling Stones No. 2. Part of the album was recorded at the legendary Chess Records Studios in Chicago, Illinois. Songs from the album were included from 1964's 12x5, their second American album, and the upcoming American album, The Rolling Stones Now. Some of the tracks featured were Time Is On My Side, the more popular version with the guitar intro, a cover of the Drifters' Under the Boardwalk, and a cover of Otis Redding's The Country Blues' Pain in My Heart. On January 16th, Once a Day, the country singer Connie Smith ends an 8-week run on the top of the country charts, a record for a female artist until 2012. The band Sigma Six were formed in Cambridge, England. However, some sources say they were formed in London, England. The original lineup consisted of Sid Barrett, rhythm guitar and vocals, Bob Close, lead guitar, Roger Waters, bass guitar, vocals, Richard Wright, piano, keyboards, and vocals, and Nick Mason, drums. Like other British bands, they covered R&B and blues songs during their live shows, and recorded demos as well, considering they had never officially released a record yet. They changed their name to T-Set. It wasn't until a live performance where another band, also called T-Set, were on the same bill. Before the performance, Sid Barrett changed names. He decided to use names of two American bluesmen, Pink Anderson and Floyd Council. Pink Floyd, and the rest is history. February, Texas band the Sir Douglas Quintet releases their debut 45, She's About a Mover. The song structures a similar styles as She's a Woman by the Beatles, Can I Get a Witness by Marvin Gaye, and What I Say by Ray Charles. February 1965, excuse me, Johnny Cash releases the album Orange Blossom Special. Aside from the traditional country that Cash is known for, the album features elements of folk as well. Songs from the album includes Orange Blossom Special, The Long Black Veil, When It's Springtime in Alaska, Danny Boy, Wildwood Flower, and a cover of Bob Dylan's It Ain't Me, Babe. Jazz saxophonist John Coltrane releases the album A Love Supreme. It was Coltrane's magnum opus and was considered perhaps his greatest achievement, and is considered one of the greatest albums ever recorded. The album is consisted of a suite of four parts: Acknowledgement, Resolution, Persuasion, and Psalm. Coltrane dubs Psalm a musical narration. A wordless recitation is what jazz pianist Louis Porter dubbed it. There was a devotional that was included in the liner notes of the album, and Coltrane plays the words on saxophone. Jazz scholars have suggested that the performance is an homage to the sermons provided by African-American preachers. In Coltrane's fashion, the poem ends with a cry: elation, elegance, exaltation, all from God. Thank you, God. Amen. February 10th, the 45 Nowhere to Run by Martha and Vandellas was released. The song became an anthem to soldiers and rioters in years to come. The song has also became the inspiration for the riff of the Rolling Stones' I Can't Get No Satisfaction. February 18th, an African-American named Jimmy Lee Jackson was fatally shot in the stomach by a state trooper in Selma, Alabama, during a demonstration for the right to vote. February 20th, country singer Buck Owens' 1964 hit, I've Got a Tiger by the Tail, tops the country charts and puts the Bakersfield sound on the map. The Bakersfield sound style of country was commonly influenced by rock and roll. It was first rely on heavily on electric instrumentation and a defined backbeat. February 21st, Malcolm X is assassinated. February 26th, the Rolling Stones releases the 45, The Last Time, backed with Play With Fire. The A-side, The Last Time, was originally a gospel song originally performed by the Staple Singers. Brian Jones' hypnotic droning guitar riff was something that other British acts did after the Stones, from the Beatles and Ticket to Ride and the Yardbirds with Heart Full of Soul. The B-side, Play With Fire, showed early signs of rock and roll combining sounds of Baroque and chamber pop. The song featured a harpsichord, which the harpsichord was considered as the primary piano during the Baroque period. It was played by American musician, producer, Jack Nitschke. February 26, Marvin Gaye releases the 45, I'll Be Doggone. The song was produced and co-written by Smokey Robinson. The riff is influenced by British band The Searchers, Needles and Pins. In March, Little Milton's civil rights anthem, We're Gonna Make It, is released and tops the R&B charts on May 1st. The band The Psychedelic Rangers were formed in Los Angeles. The band featured drummer John Densmore, who later went on to join The Doors. This was the first known occurrence of a rock band referring itself as psychedelic. March 2nd, President Lyndon Johnson orders the Operation Rolling Thunder bombing campaign against the North Vietnamese. On March 5th, British band The Yardbirds releases the 45 For Your Love, back with Got to Hurry. For Your Love became the Yardbirds' biggest hit song. It had more of a pop sound than the previous songs they put out, which of course had more of a bluesy feel to it. Eric Clapton disliked the song. He felt the band should focus on more of the blues sound rather than head in a more commercial pop sound. However, the instrumental B-side was far more bluesy than For Your Love and featured a good guitar work by Eric Clapton. On April 13th, Eric Clapton left the Yardbirds and was replaced by Jeff Beck on lead guitar. March 6th, My Girl by The Temptations tops the charts. March 6th, A Change Is Gonna Come by Sam Cooke. His anthem on civil rights peaks at number 31. March 7th, ABC interrupts the Sunday night movie to broadcast images of civil rights demonstrators being beaten by Alabama state troopers. This incident became known as Bloody Sunday. March 8th, the Deacons for Defense and Justice was an armed civil rights group established in Louisiana. March 8th, the first combat troops arrive in Vietnam. 3,500 Marines land at China Beach, which became part of the 23,000 American military advisors training in the South Vietnamese. March 8th, the Beach Boys released their 8th album titled The Beach Boys Today. The album is considered as Brian Wilson's forerunner to 1966's Pet Sounds. The A-side to the album consists of an untempo sound that contrasts the B-side, which features only ballads. Author Scott Schneider calls the suite-like structure an early example of the rock album format being used to make a close-knit artistic statement. It was something that Brian Wilson followed through on into the making of Pet Sounds to make the album's music a piece of art. This was the first album by the Beach Boys which puts the surf music and car songs to a more mature sound. The album's hits include When I Grow Up to Be a Man, Dance, 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 and Do You Wanna Dance. At the time of the recording, Brian Wilson started smoking marijuana, in which he says later that it had a profound effect on his musical conception. One of the songs that Brian Wilson wrote under the influence of marijuana was Please Let Me Wonder. March 12th, Scottish folk singer Donovan releases his debut 45, Catch the Wind. March 12th, Sam the Sham and the Pharaohs release the 45 Woolly Bully on the MGM label. The song reaches at number 2 on June 5th. The song is number 1 on the year's Billboard Hot 100. March 15th, President Johnson makes an oath, "We shall overcome," in a televised speech supporting the protesters in Selma. March 16th, 82-year-old activist Alice Hertz sets fire to herself in Detroit to protest U.S. involvement in Vietnam. March 24th and 25th, 3,500 people attend a teach-in about Vietnam that took place at the University of Michigan and organized by the SDS, Students for a Democratic Society. March 25th, the March for Selma to Montgomery ends with 25,000 gathered at the state capital of Alabama. Martin Luther King Jr. gives his How Long, Not Long speech. March 27th, Bob Dylan releases his fifth album titled Bringing It All Back Home. The album was a departure from Dylan's protest period to a more surreal point of his career, fusing more surrealistic style lyrics. This was truly another side of Bob Dylan, hence the fact I am quoting the title of his fourth album. The A side of it was accompanied by an electric backup band, and the B side of it was more of his traditional folk sound that he was previously known for. Some of the album's key tracks were Subterranean Homesick Blues, Mr. Tambourine Man, It's Alright Ma, I'm Only Bleeding, and It's All Over Now, Baby Blue. Satyrian Homesick Blues was an admixture of writer Jack Kerouac and the Woody Guthrie Pete Seeger song Taking It Easy. Mama's in the kitchen preparing to eat. Sis was in the pantry looking for some yeast. And the rock poetry of Chuck Berry's Too Much Monkey Business. While in attendance at the University of Minnesota in 1959, Dylan fell under the influence of the beat scene with writers such as Jack Kerouac, Allen Ginsberg, Gregory Corso, and Lawrence Ferlinghetti. Jack Kerouac's The Subterraneans, a novel about the beats, published in 1958, was a possible influence for the song title. The song's first line was a reference to coding, distillation, and the politics of the time. Johnny's in the basement mixing up the medicine. I'm on the pavement thinking about the government. The song also depicts some of the growing conflicts of the time in regards to straights or squares in the emerging counterculture of the 1960s. The widespread use of recreational drugs and the Vietnam War was starting to take control of the nation, and Dylan's hypercontentic lyrics were dense with up-to-the-minute allusions to important elements that were developing during the 1960s counterculture. Rock journalist Andy Gill once stated, "An entire generation recognized the outlook in the verbal whirlwind of Subterranean Homesick Blues." The song also references the struggles surrounding the American Civil Rights Movement, with lyrics, "Better stay away from those that carry around the fire hose." During the Civil Rights Movement, peaceful protesters were beaten and sprayed with high-pressure fire hoses. The song became Dylan's first top 40 hit in the United States. A promo video was filmed in England during Dylan's last acoustic tour between April and May. The song shows Dylan on a street corner holding up cue cards of various words that were lyrics to the song. The film bit was first shown in D.A. Pennebaker's Don't Look Back documentary of Dylan's last acoustic tour in Britain. Mr. Tambourine Man was written in early 1964. The composition of the song was written after Dylan attended Mardi Gras in New Orleans that year on a road trip with some friends. composition was finished either in March or April of 64 after returning to New York. British journalist Nigel Williamson stated that in the rough guide to Bob Dylan that the influence from Mardi Gras can be heard in the swirling and fanciful imagery of the lyrics. Journalist Al Aronowitz stated that Dylan completed the song at his home. However, folk singer Judy Collins has stated that the song had been finished in her home. Author Willard Miller had written that although the song is in the key of D major, it is harmonized as if it were in the Lydian G major, giving the song a tonal obscurity which enhances the dreamy quality of the melody. What was unusual was that rather than beginning the song with the first verse, the song begins with the interaction of the chorus. Dylan denied that the song was about drugs, with lines such as "Take me on a trip on your magic swirling ship and the smoke rings of my mind" could have easily been drug influenced, considering at the time Dylan had been into marijuana. It was a few months after he had written the song he got into LSD. Mr. Tambourine Man could often be interpreted as a call to the singer's spirit or muse, or as such of transcendence. Biographer John Hinchey also stated in his book, "Like a complete unknown, that the singer is praying to his muse for inspiration." Hinchey states that ironically, the song itself is evidence, as already provided, the song after inspiration. The figure of Mr. Tambourine is sometimes being interpreted as a symbol for Jesus or the Pied Piper of Hamelin. Excuse me. The song could have also been referred to gospel music themes, with Mr. Tambourine Man being the bringer of religious salvation. Dylan cited that the influence of Federico Fellini's film La Strada. Other commentators have found echoes of poetry of Arthur Rimbaud. Arthur Howard's son has said identified in the "Jingle Jangle Morning, I'll Come Following You" as having been taken from a Lord Buckley recording. Session musician Bruce Langhorne, who plays the guitar on the track, had a 4-inch deep tambourine that he once brought to Dylan during a recording session. And there was some talk that the song was about him. Anyway, "It's All Over Now, Baby Blue" was the closing track from Bringing On Home. The song was sort of a farewell piece that was a proper close for the album. Dylan did it in a similar fashion on his previous two albums from 1964. "Restless Farewell" from "The Times They Are Changing" and "It Ain't Me, Babe" from "Another Side of Bob Dylan." The song was covered by numerous of artists. One version was released by 1966 by Northern Ireland band Them. In 1966, a turn of rock singer and DJ Beck sampled Them's version of the song for his song Jackass. Writer Joyce Carol Oates' short story "Where Are You Going, Where Have You Been," published in 1966, was written to a response of "It's All Over Now, Baby Blue." On top of the heading, when the title was written, Oates writes, "For Bob Dylan." With a combination of psychedelic folk lyrics and rock and roll, the album was turned into a high art. March 27th, John Lennon and George Harrison try LSD for the first time, but not intentionally. They have dinner with George's dentist, and the dentist put LSD tabs in their tea. George describes some of the sensations as he felt like he was burning up as if he were entering hell. April, R&B jazz singer Nina Simone releases the 45, "I Put a Spell on You," a cover that was originally performed by Screamin' Jay Hawkins in 1956. The song peaked at number 49 in Britain on July 8th. Paul McCartney have been influenced by the bridge of the song in which Simone sings "I Love You," and later was used by McCartney in the song "Michelle." In April, Brian Wilson and the Beach Boys takes LSD for the first time. He had an idea for a new song while tripping. The song became known as "California Girls." Despite the influence of the song was hardly psychedelic. April 3rd, R&B singer Solomon Burke's "Got to Get You Off My Mind" tops R&B charts. The song was about his friend, fellow R&B singer Sam Cooke, and his death. April 4th, the Sable Singers record the album "Freedom Highway," a live recording recorded at Chicago's New Nazareth Church. Sources have stated that the song was about the Selma to Montgomery March. Others have stated the song was about the death of Emmett Till, who had been lynched in 1955 at the age of 14. On April 9th, the Beatles released a 45, "Ticket to Ride," a song that was said to be ahead of its time due to the guitars in the song. John Lennon dubbed the song as "Heavy." This song peaked at number one on May 22nd. On April 12th, the Supremes released "Back in My Arms Again." This song reached number one on June 12th, making it the Supremes' fifth consecutive number one. April 12th, the Byrds released their version of "Mr. Tambourine Man" on 45. They used two verses only from Dylan's original. Their version matches the jangling guitar and the beat as the Beatles do the 12-string guitar provided by Roger McGuinn. The song matches Dylan's surreal lyrics and the intro, which was inspired by Bach. The song reaches number one on June 26th. April 13th, Eric Clapton leaves the Yardbirds. He was replaced by Jeff Beck. Originally, they were going to ask Jimmy Page. Yes, the same session musician, Jimmy Page. Page took down the offer due to his friendship with Eric Clapton, but introduced him to his other friend, Jeff Beck. Clapton went on to become the lead guitarist for the British blues band John Mayall and the Blues Breakers. When he joined the Blues Breakers, Jack Bruce had a brief stint in the band before departing to become the bass guitarist for Manfred Mann. April 15th, Jackie DeShannon releases the idealistic anthem "What the World Needs Now Is Love." The song reaches number 7 on July 24th. April 30th, Bob Dylan kicks off what has become his last acoustic tour. The tour took place in England and lasted until May 10th at London's Royal Albert Hall. The tour was documented by American filmmaker D.A. Pennebaker and was released in 1967 entitled "Don't Look Back." Interesting documentary. I've seen it before, and it's very historical. It was his last acoustic tour in England, and it featured many guest artists in there. It featured Donovan, Marianne Faithfull, Alan Price, the keyboardist for the Animals. There was a moment in there when they're in a hotel room all just playing song. Like, Joan Baez was there too. She was on tour with Dylan. They were playing like folk songs and guitar and stuff, and started playing some Hank Williams songs. It was kind of cool. It was like Bob Dylan was in the room typing, and he put his guitar out and started playing for a little bit. And it was Joan Baez with her guitar, and there was road manager Bob Neuwirth, and Dylan's permanent manager Albert Grossman. Marianne Faithfull was in the room too. It was really cool. Really cool scene. Just playing like old, like Hank, like some Hank Williams songs, you know, various folk songs on guitar. And there's one scene where Dylan comes back, I think drunk, I would bet, or maybe stoned or something, he was pissed at someone threw a bottle outside of his hotel window. And he came up the room furious as heck, and I think in that scene there, Donovan was in there and he played one of his songs. It was kind of, it's pretty historical. I mean, you should check it out. It's called Don't Look Back by D.A. Pennebaker. Bob Dylan's last acoustic tour. All right. In May, the Impressions released the civil rights anthem, Meeting Over Yonder. The song peaks at number 48 on July 17th. May 1st, Little Milton's civil rights anthem, We're Going to Make It, tops the R&B charts. Did I mention that? I must have did that twice. May 5th, one of the first bands formed in San Francisco, the Warlocks, perform their first gig at Magoo's Pizza in the San Francisco Bay Area. The band consisted of Jerry Garcia, lead guitar, vocals, Bob Weir, rhythm guitar and vocals, Phil Lesh, bass guitar and vocals, Ron Pigpen McKern, keyboards and vocals, and Bill Kreutzmann, drums. The band ended up changing their name to the Grateful Dead. On May 6th, the Rolling Stones composed I Can't Get No Satisfaction at a pool at the Clearwater, Florida, as a Dylan-esque folk song. May 8th, on the U.S. Billboard Top 10, 8 of the hit singles were by British Invasion artists. One was by an Australian. May 12th, I Can't Get No Satisfaction gets me working with the beat of the Four Tops, I Can't Help Myself, Sugar Pie Honey Bunch. May 14th, folk singer Donovan releases his first album titled What's Been Did and What's Been Hid. The album features Catch a Wind and The Sing For You. Donovan sang The Sing For You for Bob Dylan in a hotel room during Dylan's last acoustic tour in England. The album also includes an instrumental that was just under 2 minutes called Tangerine Puppet. May 14th, the Rolling Stones perform at a concert in San Francisco, California at the Civic Auditorium. The concert left a mark on what was to become the formation of America's answer to the British invasion. Bands began forming in the San Francisco area, bands such as The Great Society, The Grateful Dead, The Charlatans, Jefferson Airplane, Big Brother and the Holding Company, Quicksilver Messenger Service, Moby Grape, and Blue Cheer. It was one of the first known concerts in which the crowd smoked marijuana during the performance. May 21st, 23rd, between 10,000 and 30,000 are in attendance at an anti-war teach-in in Berkeley, California. May 21st, Any Way, Anyhow, Anywhere by The Who was released as a 45. The song features an avant-garde feedback in the middle. May 22nd, Northern Ireland band Them's garage rock anthem Gloria peaks in the United States charts at number 93. That's it. In June, Bob Marley and the Wailers released the ska anthem Rude Boy. Wilson Pickett releases In the Midnight Hour. The song features a delayed drum beat that becomes a standard for Stax Records. The song peaks at number one on August 7th. British Invasion band, the Spencer Davis Group, releases their first album called their first LP. The lead singer, Steve Winwood, had a very soulful voice, about as soulful as Ray Charles. Hard to believe he was only 16 during the recording of the album. Cape Cod's The Barbarians releases the long-haired anthem, Are You a Boy or Are You a Girl? The song peaked at number 83 on September 25th. June 2nd, James Brown releases the 45, Papa's Got a Brand New Bag. The B-side featured the second part of the song, which continued from the A-side. The second was mostly instrumental. The release of the record was known as the birth of funk music. On June 4th, Heartful Soul by the Yardbirds was released. It was Jeff Beck's first appearance of the Yardbirds. The song had a bit of a Middle Eastern Indian sound to it. In fact, an original intention was to acquire Indian musicians for the piece. At the end, it didn't work out. But the Yardbirds found a way to achieve the sound as Jeff Beck used a Sola Sound Tone Blender Fuzz Box. The song peaks at number 9 in America on September 25th. June 6th, the Rolling Stones released their most popular anthem in the United States, I Can't Get No Satisfaction. The song features Keith Richards' famous opening riff. The song tops the charts for 4 weeks straight, starting July 10th. June 7th, the U.S. Supreme Court makes a decision in Griswold versus Connecticut that states cannot outlaw the birth control pill because the Constitution guarantees marital privacy. Excuse me. On June 19th, folk protest singer Phil Ochs performs I Ain't Marching Anymore at the New York Folk Festival. June 21st, the Byrds released their debut album, Mr. Tambourine Man. With a combination of jangling guitars and folk-inspired lyrics comes folk rock. Out of the album's 12 tracks, 4 were Bob Dylan compositions. Some of the album's highlights included Mr. Tambourine Man, I Feel a Whole Lot Better, The Bills of Remedy, All I Really Want to Do, and Chimes of Freedom. The song It's No Use was a song that was classified as garage rock, which had little if none influence on psychedelia. The psychedelic album cover effects was used with a fisheye camera lens. June 23rd, the Miracles released the 45, The Tracks of My Tears. On June 28th, the Red Dog Saloon opens up in Virginia City, Nevada. San Francisco's The Charlatans performs an LSD provided by Owsley Stanley, making it the start of what has become the San Francisco psychedelic scene. I mean, that's all I have to, today. And that's all I have for now. Next week I'll come back with the third and final part of 1965. So it's been a pretty interesting year so far. You know, there's too much going on, too much for me to gather up. I'm not gonna lie to you. When I was reading this, it's like, what? Whoa, wait, calm down. So I do apologize if it sounds choppy because there's so much to gather up. But I hope you tuned in and I appreciate it. Thank you so much. And that's going to be part 3. It'll be July through December for the rest of the year. So, have a good week. God bless. My email is markrocks77@gmail.com. And look me up on Facebook too. Mark Inesito. Look me up. Give me some advice. I appreciate the advice. If there's anyone out there that wants to listen to this, give me advice. Give me all the criticism you want. I'll take it. Thank you. God bless. See you next week.